taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
I'm pretty sure it was Albert Einstein who said, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is a definition of insanity. Yet here we are once again with another mass school shooting, and as if on cue, we see the same actors making the same ridiculous claims and expecting a different outcome. Makes you wonder, will the American people ever learn their lesson? Will we learn the lessons that these shootings are attempting to teach us? See, as horrible and awful as they are, there are lessons we can take from them. Evil people exist. There's nothing you can do that will rid us of evil people, and they will do evil things. The best you can do is to protect yourself against that evil when it comes. Yet here we are once again, finding ways to punish the innocent, finding ways to divert responsibility, worried more about the opportunity to advance an agenda than learning the lesson we should be learning, that no matter how hardened we make our schools, there'll always be the human factor that opens us up to a bad outcome. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. I am so glad you could join me today. And you know, I'm sorry that I still have to talk about this Texas shooting stuff. I do because it's so much, there's so much new information coming out. You know, I know, like most of you, I wish we could just put this all behind us, but unless we are willing to learn the lessons, these things will keep happening. And they'll happen with the same veracity and the same body count. Now, I want to start with this idea of you know, there are three types of lies: lies, darn lies, and statistics. See, again, statistics can be very tricky if you don't pay attention to the details. Well, for example, in a recent NPR article, they claim that there have been 27 school shootings have taken place just this year in 2022. Well, that's very interesting, but again, the details matter. Now, part of the problem is we see three different terms that are often used interchangeably, but they mean different things. You got a school shooting, a mass shooting, and a mass school shooting. Now, Uvalde was a mass school shooting. The previous 27 tragedies that NPR was referring to were not. I'm not saying they weren't tragic. They were not mass school shootings. So let's start with a couple of definitions. There's a place called Education Week, and they track all school shootings, which they define as any incident in which a person other than the suspect suffers a bullet wound on school property. Now, that's a very broad understanding. And in fact, of the 27 previous school shootings that NPR referred to, they were mostly of them were disputes between two students, often either in parking lots or on athletic fields. And they resulted in one or no deaths. In fact, in previous years, gang shootouts that happened near school property were actually counted as school shootings. But I'm dealing with the details here. So when NPR refers to 27 school shootings taking place, well, they're technically correct based on Education Week statistics. But in the context of Uvalde, well, sounds rather misleading, doesn't it? See, Uvalde was a mass school shooting. Now, a mass shooting is one where either three or four people were shot and or killed. Now, I say three or four because it depends on who's doing the accounting. Some groups require three, some four. For example, the Gun Violence Archive says there must be four people shot. Now, under this definition, many street crimes and domestic violence count as mass shootings, even if no one dies. So if we look at a count of mass school shootings, conducted in this case by criminologists for Scientific American, where they only include shootings where at least four people died on school grounds. Now, under that criteria, the number of mass school shootings in the United States is 13. That was since 1966. Now, my goal is not to diminish the tragedy of Uvalde. But what I don't want people is hyping it for their own agenda. So Uvalde is it's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing happened. But I think we should be thankful that a true mass school shooting only happens once every 4 or 5 years. To me, that's still too many. I still want to deal with them. But that's a whole different point of view than trying to promote the idea that there are dozens of mass school shootings every year. But again, we're talking about feeding into a narrative. A perfect example. Earlier in May, I believe it was May, there was a shooting in Buffalo, New York. A white gunman in military gear attacked a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, killing 10, wounding 3. Now, most of the victims were black. So you have a white gunman killing mostly killing black people. Made the news, was all over the news, heard about it for days. Compare that to another shooting on the other coast, Orange County, California. Now, in this case, one man was killed, 5 were wounded. But you see, there's a difference here. See, when Orange County Sheriff's deputies arrived on the scene, they found the suspect hogtied by churchgoers. You see, the shooter, the suspect, entered Geneva Presbyterian Church in El Toro, in California, in Laguna Woods, California, and started shooting. And the churchgoers didn't wait for police to show up, didn't run and hide. They did their jobs. They defended themselves. They tackled the suspect. As I understand it, they tackled the suspect. They tied him up. They used extension cords to tie him up while they waited for law enforcement to arrive to clean up the mess. They also confiscated weapons from him. Now, according to Orange County Sheriff, they believed initially that this was a politically motivated hate incident. But tell me, have you heard much about the Laguna Woods church shooting? No. At least I haven't. I haven't read much about it. I haven't seen much in the news because it didn't fit the agenda. See, it's not uncommon for media, especially national media, to simply brush aside or give little coverage to certain shooting events, especially when they're stopped by everyday, ordinary citizens. Well, for example, in, Charleston, West Virginia, a person was a shooter, Dennis Butler, was stopped by local police for speeding through the apartment complex. He came back later with a semi-automatic rifle and started shooting indiscriminately at a crowd of people. See, there was a graduation celebration for someone in the complex. He just started shooting. Now, two officers arrived. They confronted Butler, who fired at them. In this case, he was using a shotgun. He wounded them. So here you have a group of people, you have a guy with weapons, and he takes out law enforcement. Well, guess what happened? A woman carrying a concealed firearm confronted Butler. She shot him, and he died at the scene. According to Police Chief It looks like the person who fired upon Mr. Butler does not have any reason to prohibit her from carrying a firearm lawfully. Indeed, instead of running from the threat, she engaged with the threat and saved several lives last night. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. The same people who say she should not be allowed to carry a gun because we should be waiting for police is the person that saved, that stopped the mass shooting in Charleston, West Virginia. And in fact, everybody says we have to do something to deal with these with gun violence. According to the Journal of Quantitative Criminology, armed citizens defend themselves approximately 1 million times every year. Actually, the exact number, according to the journal, is approximately 989,883 times every year. And the Journal of Criminal Law and Criminology published a study by Gary Gleck and Mark Gertz that revealed gun owners use their legally owned firearms to defend themselves on average over 1.8 million times a year. 1,884,348 times per year. Now, what is the lesson we should be learning from these? The best way to defend yourself from a mass shooting or an armed gunman is to be armed yourself. But you see, that's not the lesson that keeps being repeated. Even the CDC, now I have to understand, the CDC had their gun crime group shut down for, we'll just call it, a statistical malpractice. Even they admit that defensive gun uses, where a citizen uses a firearm to defend themselves, range from 500,000 to more than 3 million incidents per year. Yet we have people that are saying they shouldn't be allowed to have guns. Or maybe they don't need the types of guns that they can use to save this, to do this. And sometimes you don't even need statistics. You just need someone with a mouth. For example, President Biden claimed that what he refers to as the assault weapons ban, which, by the way, assault weapons is a made-up term. He said the assault weapons worked. Yet all the statistics show there was no statistically significant difference in gun crime during the ban or after the ban expired. Do we want to learn that lesson? The lesson that, first of all, what he refers to as assault weapons is basically a semi-automatic sporting rifle, that they are an extremely small percentage of all shootings, that the ban didn't make a significant difference? Do you want to learn from that? Or do you want to repeat the same mistake over and over and over again? So just because someone like the president says it doesn't mean it's true. Go look up the data. Now, I personally like the Crime Prevention Center, Dr. John Lott's outfit. They do some very good. They're very data-driven, which means sometimes it's a little hard to read, but it's worth it. But the question is, are we going to learn the lesson? Or are we going to do the same mistakes over and over and over again? We need an assault weapons ban. Define an assault weapon. In fact, I remember when I lived in New York, they were talking about another assault weapons ban. And there was a state senator that was promoting this. And I invited him. I used to live outside of Albany, the state capital. I invited him. I said, sir, please come to the gun range. Bring your security. Bring whoever you want. I will pay all the fees. I want you to identify which of my firearms are assault weapons. Because his definition made no sense. So at the time, I had two 22 long rifle semi-automatic firearms. All right, both of which, by the way, had plastic stocks. One was your traditional hunting rifle stock. The other was made to look like a modern sporting rifle, right? They were the exact inside. The functional parts were exactly the same gun. But according to the state senator, one was an assault rifle, one was not. See, do we want to learn? Now, this state senator, he didn't want to learn. He never returned my calls, my emails. I was simply offering the opportunity to understand, to have a discussion with him. Didn't happen. If we're not willing to learn from our mistakes, see, people worry about making mistakes. We learn from mistakes. But if we're not going to learn from our mistakes, we're going to keep making the same ones over and over and over again, which I believe was Einstein's point. If we're going to make the same mistakes over and over again, well, that's nuts. Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, please head to the website, constitutionstudy.com. I'd love it if you would check out our online study, constitutionstudy.com/study. We meet every other Monday, 7 p.m. Central Time on Zoom. We read and study and discuss the Constitution. You can try it absolutely free. All the instructions are there. Again, it's constitutionstudy.com/study. I'm also working on my new tour. Tour dates are getting set up, so check it out, constitutionstudy.com/tour. This year, it's the Blessings of Liberty Tour. We're going to talk about how do we maintain the blessings of liberty. Again, that's constitutionstudy.com/tour. But there's another place I want you to head on. Head to healthycell.com. See, I don't know about you. When I travel, I have a hard time falling asleep. My wife frequently has a hard time falling asleep. My daughter sometimes. We all use REM sleep from Healthy Cell. It helps us fall asleep and stay asleep so we can wake up refreshed and ready to go. It's the only supplement that supports all four stages of sleep. Now, if you go to healthycell.com, you can try REM sleep or any of their products. If you use a code out loud, they will give you 20% off your first order. So again, head to healthycell.com, put your cart together. Just make sure you use that code out loud at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud and the Constitution Study, and they'll give you 20% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Surely, if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're trying to see if we can learn some lessons from Uvalde and other recent shootings. Now, as we started in the first segment, we do the same things over and over and over again. And as if on cue, by clockwork, as if it was a computer program, no sooner is there a shooting than the reports come out of people trying to take away the rights of innocent people that are protected by the Constitution. Now, this didn't start, but there was actually a few months ago that Representative Richie Torres introduced a bill into Congress that wants to regulate, quote unquote, ghost guns. Now, understand, a ghost gun is simply a scary term for a gun that the government doesn't know about. That's all it is. Whether it's a 3D printed gun, whether it's a gun you build yourself from parts, when they refer to a ghost gun, they're trying to scare you because all it is a gun that hasn't been registered with the government. Now, the interesting thing is the Second Amendment doesn't say the right to keep, the people have a right to keep and bear arms as long as the government knows about it. But you see, that doesn't matter. See, now that there's been a shooting, there's new interest in this quote-unquote ghost gun legislation. And again, it's the same old song. This legislation would allow someone to sue a manufacturer of a component of a scary ghost gun if it is subsequently used in a crime that involves injury or death. Now, just imagine this. You cut down a piece of wood and you sell it, you shape it into a hammer handle and you sell it to somebody who puts a hammer head on it, and then they go out and kill somebody with it. They want to go after you. This is insane. Understand, we're not talking about people illegally creating firearms. We are talking about legal firearms creation, legal firearms possession that they want to criminalize. They want to create civil suits, not because you did anything wrong, but because somebody else did something wrong. This is criminalizing the innocent because they wish, I can see no other reason than to destroy the gun industry. Because the last thing tyrants want is an armed populace. I have a little secret for you. I did a little research a while back. And if you add up Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Guard, Reserve, Coast Guard, you put it all together, the federal government can lay its hands on about 2 million people that they can put under arms. 2 million. Scary number. It is estimated that there are well over 100 million gun-owning Americans. Do you want to know why? The federal government wants to know where every gun is, who has every gun, and how dare somebody not have a gun that the federal government doesn't know about? Now, do you know why they want to put gun manufacturers out of business? Because a tyrant doesn't like having resistance. Just ask Russia when it comes to Ukraine. No. Every gun registration has not ended up in gun confiscation, but every gun confiscation has started with a gun registration. And of course, not to be outdone, the House Oversight Committee, there's a laughable phrase, they've opened an investigation into gun manufacturers in wake of the shooting. Now, again, I want to remind you, Congress has zero law enforcement capabilities. They have zero. The only investigative authority they have is to create new law. But you see, Congress doesn't care anymore because the American people don't care anymore. The chairman of the Oversight Committee, Carolyn Mahoney, sent letters to Bushmaster Firearms, Daniel Defense, Sig Sauer, Smith & Wesson, and Ruger, asking for data on how they make, market, and sell automatic rifles. Ladies and gentlemen, forget if you own them. You should contact each and every one of them and say, whatever you do, don't answer that question. Congress does not have any legitimate reason to know that. None whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in Carol Mahoney's district out of New York, get on the phone. You explain to me why that's an issue for Congress. If any of these companies have broken federal law, that's an issue for the law enforcement, the executive branch, not Congress. Tell me, how happy are you that your employee in Congress is grandstanding on the lives of 19 dead children in Texas? Tell me. But we see it over and over and over again. Until somebody can come up with a probable cause supportive, an oath or affirmation that one of these gun manufacturers committed a crime that led to this case, nobody has any reason to ask that data. In fact, I'd like a criminal investigation open into Ms. Maloney, because she is committing a federal crime. She is petitioning for an unreasonable search. She is asking these people to be witnesses against themselves in violation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, which is a federal crime under Title 18 of the United States Code. And since she did not do this in any speech or debate on the House floor, she's not protected by the Constitution. See, Article 1, Section 6 says that members of the House will not be questioned for any debate, speech or debate in either House. They shall not be questioned in any other place. So tell me, where is the investigation into Carolyn Maloney? Where is the ethics complaint? Where are the constitutional congressmen filing ethics complaints for intimidation, abuse of office, deprivation of rights under color of law? Where? The answer is nowhere. Because they still play the same stupid game over and over and over again. And we sit back and we watch these people grandstand and play games, and they pay zero price for it, so they do it again and again and again and again. So when Senator Ron Johnson proposes legislation to create a federal clearinghouse, again, it's not the federal government's business to do this. If the states want to create a clearinghouse, they can be my guest. It is not a power delegated to the United States. But even that's not good enough. Because when he submits this to the Senate, Senator Schumer dismisses the legislation, claiming, he just wants to vote on gun legislation. We are sitting back and playing games with the lives of our children. And it's not like this is the first time. This is being done over and over again, and we will not learn the lesson. The lesson that is up to we, the people, to hold our elected representatives accountable. And not just them, the elected ones themselves, the people they put in place. There's a firearms product dealer, JSD Supply, that's filed for a temporary restraining order against the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Why? Because the agency keeps initiating secret and unannounced policy changes that restrict the sale of gun parts. See, the agency, I guess the dispute is, the agency ordered JSD Supply to stop selling what are commonly known as 80% receivers. This is a term for the receiver of a gun, the part generally where the firing mechanism, the trigger, the bolt, the action, all that, that's mounted. 80% means it's mostly done. It's not completed yet. Now, why did the agency order these to be stopped being sold? Because the ATF magically decided that selling these kits means that you're selling firearms. No legislation, nothing. It's just, okay, nope, they're going to call these firearms now. The arbitrary and capricious regulation that we're supposed to be done with. This is a type of regulation that we declared independence from, yet here we are seeing it once again. And again, it's not just the feds. Just days after the shooting, New York Governor Kathy Hochul issued an executive order rewriting the state's red flag law. Now, what is a red flag law? If you're not familiar, a red flag law is a colloquial term for a special restraining order that destroys due process. If someone believes or simply reports to the police that they believe you are a danger to others, the police come in, confiscate your firearms, and maybe you get due process later. Now, what she did in this executive order was change it to make sure that officers are trained and instructed. If they believe there's probable cause, your rights in New York State go out the window. You're guilty until proven innocent. That's the state of play in New York. And we've done this nonsense over and over and over again. And we keep having these horrendous outcomes. And we keep doing them over and over and over again. And of course, it's not just government. You've got the activists as well. You have BLM referring to the police as white supremacists. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Is that because they didn't immediately rush the school? Now, I've talked about this before. I'm still waiting for more information. There is a point in this where rushing the school may not have been the right answer. There's a point where it was. There's a point where it wasn't. The question is, did the police miss the opportunity? But if the BLM activists are saying because they didn't storm the building immediately, somehow they did it because it was black kids in danger? I mean, you talk about the gross, disgusting, racist rhetoric. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't be allowed to say that. We have free speech, supposedly, in this country. Which is a perfect example. Better that they open their mouths and prove the disgusting, racist people that they are, so that we can see it and know we don't want to listen to these people. Because they're racists. Everything is racist. What about Texas gubernatorial candidate Beto O'Rourke, who decided to crash his competitor's press conference, the sitting governor of Texas, for political grandstanding? Now, I want everybody in Texas to remember that. This is a man who says he wants to get rid of all your guns. He wants to get rid of them. He wants to confiscate your quote-unquote assault rifles. And he's using the death of 19 children for political grandstanding. Is that the person you want to execute the laws of the state of Texas? Of course, we've done this before, right? Because President Obama, he did the same thing when he was in office. He's still doing this. He's somehow trying to relate the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, with the George Floyd incident. Talk about trying to dress up a blast in the past. But this is, again, political grandstanding. And they do it because they know they get attention. They know they can win votes. They do that because the American people let them do it. We listen to them. We listen to them grandstand. We listen to their promises. And when they con enough Americans to go along with them, we suffer the consequences and do it all over again. Now, sure, you know, Obama's getting and O'Rourke are getting, they're getting some backlash for their sayings, for what they said. But is that the limit? Do you take something like that? You give it any weight simply because Obama said it or O'Rourke said it? Or maybe you just don't like guns and they agree with you when they say it? Is that the level of political discourse that we're going to simply call names to each other and we're going to commit the same heinous reactions over and over and over again? And we are going to condemn our children, not only to the loss of their rights, the loss of their freedom, but to be targets, because rather than seeing what's right in front of our nose, that the building had security, a teacher propped a door open. That this wouldn't have happened if a disturbed young man was better dealt with. If the security that was put in place was followed, and if simple other security policies were put in place. You are never going to stop evil people. There will always be evil people. There will always be people that find the cracks. They will always go there. But you know what you didn't have? There was no one in that school building with a gun to protect the children. They were waiting for the people outside with guns to come in and protect the children. That is the cold, hard fact, as I've seen it so far, from the Robb Elementary School, Uvalde, Texas. That the only good people were guns were outside the building, not inside the building. The only people with guns inside the building were evil people with evil intent in their heart. And unless you're willing to stick your head in the sand while those around you die, this is going to happen again. Now, we may disagree on what those answers are. We may even try multiple different answers. But the simple idea that all we have to do is pass another piece of legislation, create another rule, another regulation, and magically evil people will disappear, that's a level of naivete that goes beyond belief. And it is getting people killed. Now, I do have to take another break, but before I go, please head to constitutionstudy.com. Help support the program. Help support the work that we're doing. Sure, you can donate there. There's a donate page. You can help fund the work that we're doing here. There's even, I even put up a tracker so people know how we're doing on our monthly expenses. But you can simply share the information. Everything I put on that website is free for you to use and free for you to share. See, ignorance comes from a lack of information. So the best thing you can do is to share more information. Also, please share that you can hear the Constitution Study weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can listen on our media player or on our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find all the links at AmericaOutLoud.com.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar, which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products, toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And we're asking, are we going to learn our lesson this time or not? As if on cue, here we go. Another Democrat at it. Another gun-grabbing politician. President Biden says the Second Amendment is not absolute. Well, okay, I will give him a tiny bit of truth to that. Right? Because the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, but you cannot be deprived of that right except by due process of law. But you see, the Constitution supersedes you, Mr. Biden. It supersedes the Congress. It supersedes the Supreme Court. So for the most part, yeah, the Second Amendment is absolute. It is the supreme law of the land. And the fact that you don't know that just shows that you are unqualified to hold that office. You're You're too ignorant of the position to hold that office. You're certainly not the first. I doubt you'd be the last. But the Constitution says, quite simply, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Period. End of story. Anything else is a crime, because it's under Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 242, to deprive someone of a right protected by the Constitution under color of law, rule, regulation, or custom, is a federal crime. Gee, I wonder if that would rise to high crime. That's a discussion for another day. But again, he says it's not absolute. Well, you were just as wrong as when you said the quote-unquote assault weapons ban worked. It did not. Now, let me ask you, Mr. Biden, is the First Amendment absolute? How about Article 2? Is Article 2 absolute? You know, the one that created your office? That said, your job, you swore or affirmed that you would faithfully execute the laws of the United States. That includes, Mr. President, the supreme law, the Constitution of the United States. But you see, we the American people, millions of us, voted to have you execute the laws, and you can't even read the stupid laws. You have no clue what they say. I bet you when it says that the president can, with the advice and consent, appoint officers, I bet you he believes that's absolute. No, this is just another petty tyrant that says, I'm not going to pay attention to the laws I don't like. And in just another example of better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it, during a Saturday program on MSNBC, this Yasmin Vozgonian, don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, when asked, said, if someone wishes to purchase an AR-15, join the military. Well, Ms. Vozgonian, the military doesn't use AR-15s. Yeah, no, they don't. They use things called M16s and M4s, which were derived from the AR-15. But if you join the military, you're not getting an AR-15. But who cares? We don't care about the truth anymore because some idiot on television says, just join the military. Does that mean Ms. Vozgonian, I'm sorry. This is not meant to insult you. I just have a hard time pronouncing your name. First of all, I'm assuming you don't realize that the military doesn't use AR-15s. That you couldn't tell an AR-15 from an M16, from an M4. You have no clue what you're talking about. But we're supposed to listen to you because you get your face on television? I'm sorry, I am not that stupid. Now, there's another lesson I want to bring to light. Something I pray we all learn. There are more reports coming out about the timeline during the Uvalde shooting incident. One is, there apparently were multiple children inside the school calling 911 looking for help, including one who pleaded, please send the police now. Do you want to know what the lesson is? If you're dependent on someone else to protect you, tough luck. I want you to think about that for a minute. See, apparently the commander at the scene, the school district's police chief, believed the gunman was barricaded in adjoining classrooms and that the children were no longer at risk. Even though the children are saying, come, save us. Come, help us. You told us. The police would protect us. Come, protect us. And they didn't. Now, I said from the beginning, there may be good reasons why the police hesitated in simply storming the building. Now, maybe part of that is the fact that they thought the gunman was in a room that didn't have children in it. But they didn't confirm it. Tell me, are you willing to trust the lives of your children to others like that? See, that to me is the lesson we keep failing to learn from all of these shooting incidents, not simply the school shootings. That when you when you are dependent on others to protect your life, they may not show up, or they may not show up in time. Now, a representative of the Department of Public Safety, a Lieutenant Chris Olivares, was interviewed by Wolf Blitzer. And it brings up some interesting questions. Blitzer asked him, he says, don't current best practices, don't they call for officers to disable a shooter as quickly as possible, regardless of how many officers are actually on site? Olivares responded, the active shooter situation, you want to stop the killing. You want to preserve life. But also one thing that, of course, the American people need to understand, that officers are making entry into this building. They do not know where the gunman is. They're hearing gunshots. They're receiving gunshots. At that point, if they proceed any further, not knowing where the suspect was at, they could have been shot. They could have been killed. And that gunman would have made an opportunity to kill other people inside that school. So they were able to contain the gunman inside the classroom so that he was not able to go to any other portions of the school to commit any other killings. Okay, there's a point. I fully understand that officers don't want to die. It's human nature. But aren't you trained to make entry into dangerous situations like that? The reason they say best practices are to enter right away is to prevent the gunman from shooting other innocent people. Now, I'm not saying you make foolish entry, right? I'm not saying that you simply walk into what's called the fatal funnel, right? Doorways are dangerous places in a gunfight. It's very simple. If you have to walk through a doorway, the gunman knows exactly where you're going to be. There's a 3-foot-wide space that he knows people are going to show up at. You don't know where he is. It's a dangerous thing. But you should be trained how to deal with that. I was trained how to deal with that, and I'm not even law enforcement. But it reminds me, if you're going to depend on others to protect you, remember, there were parents willing to go in to try and save their children that were stopped by law enforcement, because law enforcement wouldn't go in. And Lieutenant, it's a lot, in my opinion, there's a tremendous, again, I'm not a law enforcement officer. There's a huge difference between containing a gunman inside a classroom and containing a gunman inside a classroom with innocence. Yes, you contain him. And then I can understand trying to talk him down. But if the answer is the police didn't want to do their job because they were afraid they were going to get hurt, that they were willing to sacrifice the lives of innocents, that tells me the class of law enforcement officer has dropped dramatically. Again, when I was a child, we lived in New York City. My mother was a police auxiliary. She walked the streets without a gun. But I've got to know many law enforcement officers over my lifetime. And pretty much everyone I've talked to understands that they may have to risk their life in order to save the life of others. And there are plenty of examples of that. Few of them are known. Few of them are sung. My point isn't to denigrate law enforcement. I don't have all the details. I wasn't there. It wasn't my call to make. But it's to remind the American people of the dangers of placing your safety in the hands of someone else, of being dependent for someone else to protect you. Maybe they're waiting outside because they don't have the whole picture. Maybe they were waiting outside because they were concerned about their lives. Maybe they're standing outside because they were concerned about starting a shootout without knowing where innocents were. Those are all possibilities. But I repeat, inside that school, inside that classroom, there was only one person with a gun, and that was the bad guy. And you have children, yes, adults as well, but we focus on the children, inside, begging for the good guys to come save them. And they had to wait. They had to wait the better part of an hour for the good guys with a gun to come in and deal with the bad guy with a gun. I know some people don't like the logical solutions. I think we should have armed personnel available in schools, whether they be retired law enforcement, armed teachers and administrative staff. Not necessary, not required, but voluntary. If you work in a school and you're willing to take on the responsibility of protecting the children and your fellow teachers and administrators, you should not be prohibited by the state. That's why we have a Second Amendment, for the security of a free state, to provide security for yourselves. The same with administrators. You shouldn't be required to be armed. But if you can already legally possess a firearm, why can't you do one on school grounds? We had a gunman that was on grounds. That was a violation of law. Law didn't stop him. See, all the laws in the world are not going to stop evil people from doing evil things. The best you can do is to protect yourself. And one of the best ways to protect yourself is with a firearm and the training to operate it safely and effectively. Forget all the cliches, forget all the funny sayings, you know. Ultimately, the question is, are you willing to take on the responsibility of defending yourself? And are you willing to take on the responsibility of defending others? Let's face it, owning a firearm is a serious responsibility. Carrying one even more. And it should not be taken lightly. And I believe everybody should have some basic safety information about guns, whether they own them or not. Because even if you don't own guns, other people own guns. And you may encounter a gun, and if you're unprepared, well, you're more dangerous. See, it's not the person that owns a gun that's more dangerous. It's the person who has no experience with a gun that's more dangerous and handles it improperly. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy giving people free handgun training, handgun safety training. I'll take pretty much anyone that can legally possess a firearm, and I will give them basic handgun training. Even those who aren't looking to buy guns, just so that they know, if they encounter a gun, how to deal with it safely. But as long as we keep the discussion, we allow the discussion on gun violence be focused on the gun rather than the violence, we'll continue this over and over and over again. And more people will be shot. More people will be killed. There'll be more mass school shootings. There'll be more murders in New York, LA, Chicago, and other large cities. Because we have been trained, we've been convinced that we don't need to take care of ourselves. We don't need to protect ourselves. That the government is there to do it for us. And we never realized that when we turned over our God-given right of self-defense to government, we were giving away the foundations of freedom and liberty. The basic concept of protecting yourself as a protection of your liberty is gone. I keep thinking about the Battle of Athens. If you want to find out more, I wrote an article on it on the website. Just go to constitutionstudy.com, search for Battle of Athens. But these men would not have been able to defend their right to vote, to have that vote be freely and fairly counted, if they didn't know how to operate firearms. This country wouldn't be a country if our founding fathers didn't know how to operate firearms. There's a reason why the idea of John Quincy Adams performing musket drills with the Massachusetts militia at the age of 8 at one time was not considered outrageous in this country. Today, it'd probably be considered child abuse. The one lesson I think we should learn more than ever from all of these shootings is the need to take responsibility for our own safety. Because if not, then we are just subjects, serfs, and servants of the government we have given that responsibility to. That doesn't make us the land of the free. It doesn't make us the home of the brave. It makes us the land of the servant and the home of those cowering in the corner, praying the good guy with a gun shows up before the bad guy with a gun finds us. Now, you can find previous episodes of the Constitution Study. Just go to AmericaOutloud.com. Look under shows. You'll find the Constitution Study. They usually go up a day or two after they're heard on the radio. But do me a favor. Make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for news and happenings. See, more important than ever, that we look at what's going on around us, that we look at these, that we share the stories, the articles, the videos, the podcasts, the viewpoints of a free people, because it's getting harder and harder to find. More and more we're being led around, told, you don't need to protect yourself, you don't need this information. We in government will tell you what you need. We in government will take care of you. All it will cost you is all the blessings of liberty that you have.
Paid bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbor.